could have been in prison tonight.
Could be at the hospital, but could have been in the hospital tonight. And my body could have been laying over at the Ren Yates. Where people may want to come by and maybe view this old body, I don't know. But if they didn't, that's fine with me, because I'm not there. I'm not there. You know, tonight I just want to just talk a little bit tonight about some things, because we can't be long, because we got a little business meeting afterwards. And because tonight is the night that we have a business meeting. But it says right here in Ephesians chapter 5, and it says right here in verse 21. Chapter 5 and verse 21. And then what Paul is speaking about right here, Paul is speaking about the walk as a Christian, as a believer in the Lord, and he's talking about the spirit-filled believer. The spirit-filled believer. We don't have many people anymore that is spiritually filled anymore. We don't have many people anymore that even believes in the Holy Spirit. They believe in God and they believe in the Lord Jesus, but they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. And I've heard some people call the Holy Spirit an it. Well, if you're going to call the Holy Spirit an it, then you got to call God the Father an it. You got to call the Son an it, because the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a living soul. He is a he, just like the Son of the God. The Son of God is he, just like the Father. The Father is he. The Father is not no figment of anybody's imagination. If it is, then one day they're going to come to realization that all the figment of their imagination, and they wish that they had listened, and they wish they had read the Word of God, and we wish that they had believed and asked the Holy Spirit to save their soul. Now we also see where the Holy Spirit is married. The married life of the Holy Spirit, the filled believer, is the illustration of Christ and the church. This building right here is nothing but a building. It's nothing but mortar. It's nothing but glass. It's nothing but cloth. It's nothing but wood. It's nothing but wire. It's nothing but a building, and that's it. It does not live. It does not breathe. It cannot breathe. And it cannot live. We are the church. What Jesus Christ speaks about. He speaks about his church. He speaks about his individual church. And we, as individuals, an individual church, we must be building up, not the place of worship here, but we must be concentrating on building up the kingdom of God. Because if we're building up the kingdom of God, then we are on the right track. We're on the right road. But if we're just building up down here and we're not concerned about people going to heaven, then we're going to be people that's most miserable. Because I believe this, an individual that is ever been saved, blood bought, if they've ever had the Lord Jesus Christ to save their soul and to wash them in His precious blood. I believe the day that I got saved, I believe that when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, I believe right then that's when I was saved. I believe I was saved right there because the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, you have to go and confess your sins to the Lord Jesus. That's all I had to do, is confess my sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. I thank God for everything that He's done in my life. But here in chapter 5, in verses 15, it says, seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time before the days are evil. Before, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The only way that we'll find out what the will of the Lord is for each and every individual's life, and we must get in here and study, we must pray and ask God to touch us and give us His perfect will for our life. Now, I know that people today, they're always saying, well, you know, I like to be like him. I wish I could be as faithful as he can. I wish I could do some of the things that he does. Well, the problem with that is that they have never come to the realization that they have figured out their own conviction. Every individual has their own conviction. And the conviction must come from God. And the conviction that will come from God will come in a way that where they will have souls on the heart, souls on the mind. Because if we forget about souls, if we forget about people coming into the house of God and getting saved, if we forget about people coming and just bowing down to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to bless their soul and lead them and guide and direct them, then we're going to be people that's most miserable. Why? Because you're not doing what God wants you to do. God wants each and every one of us to do something. God doesn't want us just to come in here and fill these pews. Yes, it would be nice to see the pews filled, but He just don't want us to come in here and see the pews be just being filled, where they're being comfortable, where people can say, well, when you have a revival, somebody's come in and maybe got your seat, and you'll go up to them and say, sir, ma'am, you got my seat. Hey, they do that. They do that. I've seen it happen. Brother Jim Reeves, a good preacher friend of mine, y'all know him. I seen him one night, he come to revival with Brother James Albert's church one night. And it was a lady in the church. She was a member of the church, and she could sit down Sunday morning for preaching, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And she always sat on the third row back, on the left-hand side as you come in, or the right-hand side where the preacher was standing. And he come in that night, Brother Jim Reeves did. Brother Jim Reeves, he don't mind me telling it. He come in that night, and the pews was being filled up. People was coming in early. So he went and he grabbed a seat. And he grabbed the seat right on where she sat. Well, she come in that night. And when she come in that night, she went to her seat and he was there, sitting in her seat. And he said, sir, you're sitting in my seat. What he done, he just politely got up, went to the back of the church, sat on the back pew.
But people do that. They will come and claim a seat. And I hope, pray that y'all never do it. I hope, pray that y'all haven't put a claim on your pew and on your seat to where when somebody comes in and somebody sits on it, that you're not going to be upset with them. We shouldn't be upset because people want to come into the house of God and worship a living God. I mean, people today are so fickle today, it's pathetic. They're so, I don't know what else to use. But it says right here, it says in verse 19, it says, speaking to yourself in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He says, speaking to yourself in psalms and a hymn in verse 19 of chapter 5. Speaking to yourself in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What is Paul saying right here? Paul saying that we must speak to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must sing with the song that He has placed in our heart, that where no one else can hear us but God Almighty, that we'll sing with a joyful noise. I'm not up here to sing for the people. I'm not up here to be in a popular singer or nothing like that. Y'all know that I can't sing. I can't carry a tune. I can't carry a note. I don't know what notes are. Don't know what I don't know what all the curlicues and everything is in the song book. But I can read the words there. And if I can get in harmony with it, if it doesn't make no difference. I'm not here to bless myself or bless nobody else. I'm here to bless the Lord. That's all God wants from His people, is to bless Him. To bless Him.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to go to God the Father and thank Him for allowing His Son to go to Calvary and dying there on that cross and shedding His blood, that we have a choice. He has given us a choice to where we can either accept Him or reject Him, one or the other. And I thank God that when that last time come around, that I did not reject Him anymore. That I accepted Him as my Lord and as my Savior. And when I did, that was the very moment that He spoke to me, because He came and He lives within my heart. He don't live on the outside of me. Only thing my wife sees, she sees this same old body that she's seen before I got saved. But I have somebody else that lives inside. It's not the arrogance, Donnie, that used to be. It's not the Donnie that wanted this and wanted that. No, it was something else planted within me. Planted within me, in my soul, that where I want to see people get on board. I want to see people saved. I want to allow people to have the same joy and the same desires that I have. I don't understand how people can go around and walk around day by day and end up going to the hospital year after year, and then they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know Him as a Savior. Oh yes, they'll tell you, well, I prayed today. What they've done, they just wasted their breath that God gave them.
you're not saved, God don't hear you. God does not hear your prayer if you're not saved. The only prayer that God will hear from a lost sinner is a sinner's prayer. It's number one prayer he'll hear from a sinner. I'm so thankful that he heard my prayer that day. Yes, I was a sinner. I was lost and I was undone. I was headed toward a devil's hell. And if I was continue on going the way I was going, I'd have probably ended up in jail. Then I'd have probably ended up in prison. I want one of these individuals who went ahead and robbed people and took drugs and all of this. But if I kept on with the way that I was going, I'd have probably ended up on the alcohol, the drug. Once you end up on drugs, that's when you've got to have more drugs. You don't buy drugs for 10 cents. You don't buy it for 20 cents. You got to go ahead and you have to buy it. When you buy the hard stuff, you paying money for them. You're paying dollar bills and 20s and 50s and $100 for the hard drugs out here. And then you have people to come along and say, "Would help me? Can the church help me today? I don't have no money. I don't have no heat. I don't have no running water. I don't have no food in the house. Can you help me out with maybe $5 or $10? I'll take them to the store and I'll buy 4 or 5 cans of food or something like that. But I'm not going to give them no money because I know where the money's going to go. The money's going to go for the next fix or the next alcohol. We don't need to feed the habit. And that's what I believe the church has been doing for so many years. We've been feeding the sinner's habits out here. And the sinners, they don't know but one habit. And that is the habit that they have got locked into. And once they have got locked into that habit, it's hard for them to break. They have to get to the lowest point in their life. And when you get to that lowest point in your life, and all of you right here probably remember a time right when you got to that lowest point in your life. You couldn't look down because you couldn't even bow your head and look down. You would be flat out. You couldn't even raise your head up enough to where you could get your chin and your head where you could look down. The only thing you could do, you had to look up. And when you looked up, who'd you see? The Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you. He loved me. He loved them two thieves that was on the cross, the way he hung right there in the middle. And one of the thieves on his right hand said, right side, I believe it was, it said, "Hey, if you say that you are the Messiah, then why don't you come down from the cross and save yourself?" Then the other thief there on the other side of him says, "Should be rather accusations against this man. This man has done no harm. This man has done no harm to you. He's done no harm to me." But he asked him. He says, "Lord, come into your kingdom, when you come into your paradise, remember me, Lord. Remember me." That individual there that was hanging on the cross that day, he didn't have to get baptized. He wasn't baptized in immersion in water like we have a baptism here. We go ahead and we have a baptism here when the individual steps into the water. And then when I take them and I lower them down into the water, they are lowered down. They're going down. They're going down to the bottom where the sin has gone to. They have gone to the bottom. But now, when they're raised up out of that, they're raised up in the likeness of Him. In the likeness of Him, just like He rose from the grave. How good God's been to us. And how sorry we've been to Him. Well, preacher, you shouldn't say that. I haven't been disobedient to God. I haven't been sorry to Him. I haven't done anything to Him. Well, I always go back to that one verse in Romans. It says, "For all have sinned." And that's not talking about the lost person. Yeah, we have all sinned as lost people. But we've all sinned since we've been saved too. Because we cannot live the perfect life. The only thing that we can live trying to be more mature. Because that's what the word perfection, perfect, is in the Word of God. And it means we're growing. We can mature in Him.
Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Just like Christ is the head of the church. Just like Christ is ahead of us as individuals, if you're saved. And if you're saved, you're going to want to treat your wife in a way to where you'll take up for her. You're not going to run her down. You're not going to say, "Well, honey, how about you going and you get me this? Honey, how about you go and you do this? Honey, you got to do this for me," because the Bible says that. No, the Bible don't say that. That's what we read into it. But that's not basically what the Bible is saying. That's not what Jesus Christ is saying. Jesus Christ is saying that, yes, we must come in subjection unto Him. We must come into subjection unto Him. And as we love Him, then we're going to love our wife. Same way with the wives. The wives are going to love the husbands. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord Jesus. Father, thank You for this time. Father, thank You for the message, Lord Jesus, we pray. We pray, God, Father, that you would just be with the people here tonight, Father. Speak to their hearts. And Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, that they will leave this sanctuary tonight, Father, saying it's good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.